Romans 10, let's look at verse 8. And it says, but what does it say? The understood subject is the righteousness of faith, which is who we are. We're righteous by faith. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Whose mouth is it in? It's not enough to hear the word. It's got to come out of your mouth. It needs to come out of your heart. That's the law of faith. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then we skip down to verse 17, and it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is part three of a message that we've entitled, The Whole Package. The whole package. Those two words, saved and salvation, sozo and soteria, are package words. Anytime that they're used, they may be translated healed, it might be translated saved, it might be translated salvation. However it's translated, it means its whole meaning at the same time. The word sozo means deliver, protect, heal, preserve, be whole, and make whole. It's wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. Every time we use that word, we're saying all of that. And then salvation, the word soteria, is very, very close to that. It's rescue, safety, deliver, health, save, saving. Notice that in both of them, health and healing are part of the package. Health and healing are part of the package. And that's what we've been talking about, is there's a whole package that's available to us. We have no trouble believing that if 25 people lined up across the front here to receive Jesus and everybody prayed the sinner's prayer, that 100% of them would be born again. We have no trouble believing that, right? It's the same sacrifice that paid for the healing. So why do we shift in our idea with healing, that somehow, you know, if it's the Lord's will, or are you doing all the right things? No. If you prayed, your whole spirit, soul, and body. Yeah, but I have symptoms in my body. You need to treat symptoms in your body like you would treat temptation. Symptoms are to sickness like temptation is to sin. And you have to resist it. I am not the sick trying to get healed. I am the healed resisting sickness. It's the same coin, both sides. It's the same sacrifice. He's not taking another stripe to get you healed. It's already in place. And when you got born again, healing, the healer moved on the inside of you. Healing's right here. You don't have to go get it. It's right here. So if righteousness is absolute, why isn't healing absolute? It is. The reason that it's easier, when Jesus dealt with that, the guy with the mat, we looked at it in part two, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up, take up your bed and walk, be healed, in other words. Which is easier to say? Well, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because there's no big pile that evaporates, right? It's easier to say that. And that's why it's easier for people to believe, because they don't have their sins in a big pile. Symptoms have a voice, but you have to deal with symptoms just like you deal with temptation. Submit yourself to the Lord. Therefore, resist the devil, and he will flee. He's the one that's going to run, not you. He's going to run. Why? Because I submit myself to the Lord. Now go over to Luke chapter 5. Sometimes people will say, well, the Lord is perfecting me through this sickness. Well, does he perfect people with sin? James says, don't even suggest that God is the one tempting you. Right? He doesn't tempt anyone. It's the same coin. You have to look at it as a parallel. But people come up with all kinds of stuff. God can't give you what he doesn't have. Did you ever notice that Jesus didn't give somebody the flu? He didn't have the flu. Right? He can't give you cancer. He doesn't have cancer. Right? Amen. Luke chapter 5, look at verse 12. And it happened when he, Jesus, was in a certain city that, behold, a man who had or who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Now, we talked about this a little bit. This is the only place that I can find where the willingness of God is questioned. And I'm glad it's here, because the leper recognizes he can. If you're willing, I know you can. Are you willing? Then he, Jesus, put out his hand and touched him. Now that's a whole, there's a big, big teaching right there that we're going to go around. But I'll mention this. If you touched a leper, you were considered unclean. They were unclean, and that uncleanness would transfer to you. But did you notice that Jesus is not unclean? Put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. Now, remember the woman that was bowed over for 18 years? He went up to her and he said, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Calling things that are not as though they were. Nothing happened until he touched her. When he touched her, she's made whole. Just like that. Here, we see the opposite. Here, Jesus touches him and nothing happens until he removes the question, are you willing? Jesus said, I am willing. If he is ever willing, he is always willing. There is never a time that he's not willing. He's the same yesterday and today and forever, all right? And he, Jesus, charged him to tell no one. You know what happened, right? He went and told everyone. But go and show yourself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. He tells him to go do what the law says to do. Don't break the rule. Go do what you're supposed to do, right? However, look at this. The report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together, watch this, to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. To hear and to be healed. Remember, we looked at it, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. A lot of times people are doing all the talking. No, you need to hear him and be healed. Hear him and be healed. He needs to speak to your heart. I mean, we got masses of scriptures about healing being our current possession. It belongs to us. We're already healed as far as God's concerned. All the promises of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, says all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. All of them. Every single promise. I'm so glad that verse is there, because there's a lot of people that are asking God for what he's already decreed, what he's already handed out. They're asking for the check. Lord, cut me a check. I need healing. And you'll hear it. I hear it amongst a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people. They'll come up in the prayer line for healing, and they'll start listing somebody's qualifications. Oh, Josh is so faithful. He's such a man of God. He's so faithful. So they're really listing why he would merit God to heal him. And it's almost like saying, you haven't done it yet, God. Well, the righteousness of faith wouldn't say that. We could have started at verse 6. They wouldn't say, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. The righteousness wouldn't say that. They would say like the Roman centurion, you just give the word. He sent his word and healed them. Didn't he? Why are we asking for what we already have? If I needed a ride to church tonight, and I said, Pastor Josh, will you come by the house and pick me up? And he said, yeah, sure, I'll do that, no problem. And then he comes and he picks me up. Then we get to church. And I say, hey, Pastor Josh, will you give me a ride to church tonight? That's ridiculous. But that's what some people are doing. He's already done it. It's like, dude, let me feel your head. You feeling all right? But see, people are asking God. We need to hear him and be healed. When revelation comes to your heart, I call it the revelation button. When the Lord hits the revelation button, it's on. It's just a matter of time. Your body starts to respond right then and there. Amen? We're talking about the whole package. Then after that, verse 16, I was going to throw this in. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus, that was his pattern. And I believe that when Jesus would go off and pray, he would withdraw himself. He's getting a daily download of what the Father, in the way of ministry, the Lord is showing him that next day of what's going to happen. Because the Holy Spirit tells us things to come. And he even said, I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it. I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. So God was showing him step by step. And you see this demonstrated like when he sent the disciples to go get the colt. If any, you'll find a colt right here. It's tied right here. I mean, that's specific stuff. And you go there, and if anybody says anything, just say, the Lord has need of it. See, sometimes people preach, no, the Lord doesn't need anything. He doesn't need us. He does. In fact, I look at that building from my desk, and I say, the Father has need of that building. I call it into the ministry in Jesus' name. Lives are going to be transformed at that location in Jesus' name. Go over to Hebrews chapter 1. There's certain things we have to do. If we're passive where healing is concerned, then you probably won't be bothered with much of it. You understand? You can't be passive. The kingdom suffers violence and the violent take it by force. There's got to be a dogmaticness about ourselves where we fight for this stuff. If symptoms come on you, and I know for me, with my kids, it's much easier to get real indignant. This is wrong. This has to go. There's a fight. Now, it's not because I grit my teeth that the devil runs, but I just go to that place. I'm determined. This is trespassing. This cannot stay. Hebrews 1, look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. I wanted you to notice that everything is upheld by the word of his power. It's not the power of his word. We've talked about this before. If it said the power of his word, that may only be a measure of his power. Maybe his word only has a specific amount of power, but this is telling you how to access all of his power. It's the word of his power. This is how I access all of his power. It's all upheld. We talked about in the quantum realm that these atoms, this table right here, they're actually moving. If you zoom in with a microscope, you can see that there's actually movement there, right? What keeps it together? What keeps it from just flying apart? And you got electrons and protons and neutrons, and you got these things. It's a little solar system, a whole bunch of atoms right here, right? What keeps them together? The Word of God. Everything is upheld by the Word of His power. It's obeying Him. Everything is obeying Him. And He's entrusted us with His Word. The Word is near you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart. That's how confession is made unto soteria, which includes healing. It will obey you. Glory to God. Now, go over to chapter 11. These are a couple of review points, but I just wanted to mention that everything is still submitted and obeying the Word of God. Hebrews 11, look at verse 3, and it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay, so we're talking about an unseen realm. It's the realm of faith, right? It's that quantum realm. We got into it at Riverside. I mean, I no sooner stepped on the platform, and I'm talking about that quantum phenomenon, wave-particle duality. I'm like, oh my gosh. I have no video for it. I'm just going to try to explain this. But the bottom line is, every possibility exists at the same time. And it doesn't happen until we look at it. It's always affected by the observer. Whew, deep stuff. But the fact is that words frame worlds. What words are you saying? Karen mentioned it before. Listen to what you're saying. What are you saying? I'll go down this road a little bit. Didn't plan to, but are we saying a bunch of things we don't believe? Because if we are, then we're going to make it hard for us to exercise the law of faith, which is what you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth, it will come to pass. Romans 10, we looked at it. Mark 11, you guys know the verses. Same spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4. We looked at that last time that we talked about this. We have the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore speak. What you speak and you believe in your heart, it's going to come to pass. But if you're foddering it with a whole bunch of other stuff, there's all these colloquials that we use that are exaggerations. I heard a study, it was done by the Barna Group, that said the average Christian says over 200 lies a day. And I'm like, man, no way. That's just not even possible. That can't be right. But then you realize that the study is predicated on any exaggeration of truth. Sometimes we have the temperature a little cold in here. It's almost freezing in here. Really? Or we didn't turn the heat on and we're up here practicing and sweating. Oh my God, I'm burning up. You know, it's like, really? Spontaneous combustion. I'm boiling. It's 212 degrees, really? Are you with me? See, those are those exaggerations. Listen to what we're saying, and it matters because those things pollute our ability to affect ourselves. We condition our spirit not to believe us when we say those other things. And I'm not trying to be a confession cop or any of those things. I'm just trying to help you. I want to see the results. We are designed by God to believe every word that comes out of our mouth. And it's supposed to have the power that it has when it comes from His mouth. Right. Words frame worlds. Go over to Proverbs chapter 4. Oh, I got to hurry. Proverbs 4, look at verse 23, and it says, keep your heart with all diligence. One translation says, guard your heart above all else, for out of it springs the issues of life. And you might ask, well, how do I do that? The next six verses tell you how, but I'm only going to look at the very first one that's mentioned. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Ephesians 4 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. That's verse 29, Ephesians 4. We're not always going to get life on our terms. Did you know that? Anybody have family members that make decisions that impact you adversely, and you really didn't have much to say about it, right? So there's, especially in ministry, we need to be able to hear things and not allow it to frame our world on the inside. It may affect the external world that I'm involved in, but I'm not letting it get in my heart. I'm going to guard my heart. People will say things that are hurtful. Are you with me? But it's my choice whether I let this in or not. I can hear it and it get in my head, but it doesn't have to get in my heart. How do I keep it out of my heart? Don't give it voice. Man. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. So what are we to guard our hearts from? Well, first of all, we don't want to say perverse words. And perverse, it's not just sexual perversion. We're not talking about that. We're talking about anything that's distorted, anything that's not true. Like I said, gross exaggerations and things. Man, there's a million flies in the church today. You count them, there might have been three. that got in. Are you with me? That's the kind of thing that we're talking about. And that's the way the world talks. That's how the world talks. And it's by design. The enemy has been trying from the time of the pronouncement that Jesus would crush his head in the garden. He's been trying to pollute the stock of the earth. He's been trying to fodder or pollute our ability to exercise our faith. When spirit-filled believers who speak the pure word of God and know who they are in Christ, and they're in communion with God, and they're only saying what God says to say, look out. Hebrews 12, look at verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. I was blessed to be able to share that revelation on holiness, that it's a process. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness. Now, this is what we're guarding against right here. Any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this, many become defiled. How many of you know that it's impossible that offenses don't come? Again, it may get in my head, but I'm not going to let it get in my heart. I'm guarding my heart. I don't want a root of bitterness there. The word bitterness is an inward attitude that is so bitter it produces a scowl on one's face. In other words, you become so inwardly infected with bitterness that you are outwardly affected in your appearance and disposition. The fruit it produces is unkind, sour, sharp, sarcastic, scornful, cynical, mocking, contemptuous, and wounding. That's quite a list. Bitterness has nothing good to say about the other person. In fact, it looks for negative things to say about that person in order to affect others' opinion about him as well. On our ride home, I got a lengthy Facebook message from somebody that had left Riverside Church, and the reason they had left is they heard from some people who were there 10 years ago. 10 years ago. A decade ago. And they were told, if you leave, you're going to get a letter that tells you you're not welcome. And I got them on the phone and I said, well, listen, I actually was personally involved in some of the letter writing. And you need to know every situation was unique. There's not a form letter that everybody gets when they leave. There was a lady that was absolutely determined to create chaos in the church. There was a situation with a youth pastor that had crossed all the lines with a teenage girl. And we had to tell people, this person's no longer the youth pastor. We didn't expose the depth of whatever. We just said, inappropriate relationship. And so this person was determined that they're going to go in the lobby and expose the girl. And I said, no, you're not. You're not going to do that. It's a public place. I said, no, it's not. It's a corporation. And we have bylaws. Yeah, she got a letter. So you try that and you will be asked to leave. Fortunately, it didn't happen. But this stuff is still going on. 10 years later, there's people bad-mouthing the Lopshires. And we know them. And I had to tell this person on the phone because you can't unhear it. Once you've heard that, you can't unhear it. And they realize, wow, this is really negative. They put some distance between them and that person, but it put a seed in them that that's a possibility. And so I was able to speak to it and I said, you know what? You've observed Pastor Randy and Pastor April for 10 years, longer than that. Have you seen a meltdown in their character? Anything that would lead you to believe that they've departed from integrity? I got news for you. They're the same in and out of the pulpit. And I'll vouch for them. You know, they're exactly the same. I said, have you seen that? No. Is that your experience with them? No, my experience is much different. I said, well, there you go. See, this thing is vile. It's a root of bitterness. And it's been fermenting for a decade. Who needs it? Stop it. Amen? Wow. Go to Philippians chapter 2. I won't keep you much longer. Look at verse 13 of Philippians 2. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure, do all things without complaining and disputing. So how many things are you allowed to complain about? Well, again, go back to put away a deceitful mouth, put away perverse lips. A lot of times we're causing our own problems. If we're going to watch a video, it's real short, so I think it's like 2.5 minutes, something like that. We're going to watch this video here in just a moment. But it shows you what happens when you start to complain. Our brains are amazing things. So go ahead and play that.
How complaining affects the brain and general health. While we may think it feels good to vent, complaining has some bad effects associated with it. Many of us have fallen into the habit of making complaints about everything, from bad hair days to troubling relationships. Even when life is going well, we often overlook the positives and fuss about one thorn among the roses. Why isn't complaining beneficial? Research shows that it rewires our brain for negativity. The brain is designed to work efficiently, meaning that when we repeat a thought, negative or positive, the nerve cells form a bridge between each other to expedite the passage of information. Consequently, the next time we have a similar thought, it is more easily transmitted. This mechanism explains why certain thought patterns quickly become ingrained habits. Yet the detrimental effects don't stop there. A study from Stanford University shows that complaining causes the hippocampus, which plays a vital role in problem solving and other cognitive functions, to shrink. In addition to causing brain damage, complaining also releases a stress hormone, cortisol, the fight or flight chemical the body produces when we encounter some danger, a response that is essential for survival. However, constantly having a high level of cortisol results in high blood pressure, high blood sugar, and impaired immunity, effects that may eventually cause obesity, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. The ill effects of our complaining aren't just limited to ourselves, though. They also involve those around us. People tend to mirror the moods of those around them, so we should be cautious about constantly complaining when we're around our friends. The best way to deal with constant negativity is to develop a sense of gratitude. Just like complaining acts as a poison, gratitude acts as a medicine. Research shows that having gratitude lowers cortisol levels by 23%. As well as reduces blood pressure and cholesterol. It also decreases fatigue and depression. Gratitude is the perfect antidote for complaining, a behavior that steals our brain power, happiness, and physical well-being.
So, instead of griping and complaining, what are we going to do? We're going to be grateful. There is plenty to be grateful for. I said there's plenty to be grateful for. If you're not grateful, you're not looking. Did you wake up today? Did you eat food today? Did you find clothes in the drawer, in the closet? There's plenty to be grateful for. And that's the antidote. And did you notice that it's a medicine? Now, that hippocampus in the brain, that's the place where Alzheimer's occurs. Gratitude. See, don't tell me what not to do. Tell me what to do. I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to start to be grateful. When you think about that building, Father, we're grateful. We're moving in. We're grateful that this deal's coming to pass. We're grateful. Just think about it. And remember the water we looked at a couple of weeks back? What were the two words? Love and gratitude. Those two things changed the water to restructure it to be better for us. I shared that Sunday morning. I showed that video, by the way, with Dr. Emoto, and I said, so now when I get water, I look at it, I love you, and I'm so thankful I get to drink you. And I tell you what, I'm not being weird. I don't care what anybody thinks. I know that's true. That's science, right? And that's going to affect that water to make my body healthy. Because my blood pressure was so high about a month ago, I'm paying attention to that. People that complain nonstop, the brain rewires itself to do that. After a while, they're just complaining on autopilot. They're looking at the negative in everything. But you have to, on purpose, change it. How do we do that? Let's be grateful. And we did this thing right when we first moved in this building, 40 days of gratitude. And I wanted to re-implement that, but I'm not going to say 40 days. Let's add it to our daily lives. Let's start our day with gratitude. Gratitude. What are we grateful for? There's plenty to be grateful for. Grateful for our families. Grateful for our friends. Grateful I'm saved. Grateful my future's secure. I mean, there's no shortage of things that we can be grateful for. And you know what? That's going to promote health in our bodies. And also, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Learn to laugh. We can affect people around us. That was the other thing that was talking about, how people tend to mirror. If we start complaining, next thing you know, you've got a whole group of people complaining. Let's not do that. Let's start being people that emulate gratitude. Amen? We'll close with one scripture. I want you to go over to Jeremiah 23. We're guarding our heart against a root of bitterness. And that's going to defile. That's going to cause all kinds of problems. And even though healing belongs to me, even though I possess healing because the healer is in me when I got born again, if I'm complaining, I'm causing my body, its immune system, to go into a problem mode where it can't fight what it's supposed to fight. And let me say this. We are not against medical doctors. They can't heal you. They cannot heal you, but all they can do is give your body what it needs to heal itself. Your body's designed to heal itself. Are you listening to me? And so what do? We give our bodies life, the medicine that it needs from the Word of God. Just reading the Word is health to your bones and all your flesh. It's healthy. Just read the Bible. It's medicine. Laugh. It's medicine. Be grateful. It counteracts the complainant. I shut the news off. Now, I found out the Mueller report came out the other day, so I watched about 20 minutes of Sean Hannity, and I realized exactly what I thought is still the same. But I wanted to find out what was going on with that, because I'd waited 600 and something days to find out. Anyway, I won't get all political. Jeremiah 23, did you find it yet? And you know what? I don't miss the news. I feel better. We have a hard drive, and so we've gotten some flash drives that have a bunch of MP4s on it, and we just put that on loop and have the Word of God playing just nonstop. And I tell you what, it has affected me personally. Praise God. Jeremiah 23, look at verse 29. The Lord is speaking. He says, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces?" So what do? Take the Word of God and smash the symptoms that come up in your body. Take the Word of God and smash bitterness with gratitude. Are you seeing it? Use the Word of God. Use it effectively. Don't fodder it with a bunch of nonsense you don't believe. Speak the truth. And I tell you what, it'll make a big, big difference. That's how we enjoy the whole package. Amen? Praise God. Did you get anything out of that?